of our Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Birth announcements. In this morning's readings, we had two birth announcements. We had the birth announcement that was given by Isaiah as he spoke to the king Ahaz. And he gave this announcement telling him that the Lord himself will give you a sign, that a young woman will be with child and she shall bear a son and he shall be named Emmanuel. That birth announcement was an announcement to the people and to the king of hope. It was an announcement that reminded them that out of Israel would come the Messiah. But it was a birth announcement not only of hope, but of judgment. Because as you continue to hear those words, as Amy read them to us this morning, it didn't sound real exciting, did it? God wasn't just suddenly going to have that child arrive. He let the people know through the prophet's words that those two kings that they were worried about were going to lay their land desolate before that child would even be born. Before that child would know how to choose between good and evil. But the promise remains that the Lord will bring you and your people and your ancestral home up out of that place of captivity, that the Messiah will come. And then this morning we get the second birth announcement. First, as we heard Mary speak it when the candle was lit, and then we heard it through the voice and the image and the perspective of Joseph, the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, Jesus. Now, I want to know if you paid attention to the difference in the words. In the Hebrew scriptures, we had a young woman, she'll bear a child. And then today in the gospel lesson, it was a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. The difference is only about Hebrew versus Greek language. The word in Hebrew for young woman is also the Greek word for virgin. And the virgin is that place, that title that is given to the people Israel. And that is why when we talk about the birth of Christ as the child of Israel, the Messiah to bring peace, it can be heard through those who are of Jewish ears, of Greek ears, of English ears, of the child that comes from the line of David, that comes from the line of Abraham, that comes from the God who loves us. It gives us hope in the midst of despair. A Messiah who will come not only to free us, but it's also a Messiah who will come to bring judgment. Birth announcements are kind of that strange thing. We get really excited when we get a birth announcement, don't we? That a baby's been born. But we're also a little bit afraid. Anybody who has been in that situation where they realize that new child is coming into their life, whether through adoption, whether through birth, whether through just the circumstances of your life, suddenly there in your home, you have a child. You're excited. It's filled with wonder and hope, but then there's that fear. Will I do it right? What happens if? And your life is completely changed. But that's not where it begins, is it? It begins with that notice of pregnancy. When you get the announcement that there is going to be a child to come. Now that is the announcement that holds both fear and hope, because you have that time between the announcement and the birth that you wonder, will everything work out just right? And you realize your life will be changed forever. Well, Mary and Joseph, they had a very different story. They were in a very different time and context, and we might not be able to quite understand what Joseph's problem really was this morning. Because we're in an age where divorce is high, where marriage is not really the choice all the time. But pregnancies continue to happen. Births continue to happen. Children continue to come into the world, and it just doesn't seem to be that big a deal. Why was it such a big deal to Mary and to Joseph? What is the big deal about virginity? Tell me. You know, in this context of this world, it is hard to get our young people to understand that gift and sacredness of entering into your marriage pure. So, as our young people would read this scripture, they just wouldn't quite understand what's going on in the lives of Mary and Joseph. And even in our Christmas pageants, don't we always have Mary and Joseph about the same age? We work really hard to make Mary and Joseph about the same age. When in reality, Mary was about 14, and Joseph, he may have been much older. Because in those days, you became betrothed. And the value of the women that you were betrothed to depended on their purity. So, Mary was betrothed. Which meant, you wonder why the divorce? Meant they were really married. The consummation of that wedding consummates the marriage. But they are legally contracted to one another once they were betrothed. So Joseph finds that who he's been betrothed to is pregnant. Have you ever wondered also about Mary's courage? As you listen to Taylor speak those words this morning, when she said, "Here I am, Lord," she was agreeing to be pregnant as a betrothed woman. That took a lot of courage to say yes to God, to that kind of faithfulness. Then who told Joseph? Have you ever wondered who told Joseph that Mary was pregnant? Imagine it being Mary. What kind of courage she had to tell her betrothed what was going on. And then we get Joseph's story this morning where it says in the scripture he is a righteous man. And we're wondering, well, how righteous are you? You're going to divorce her. Well, actually, he had the right to have her put to death. But what Joseph was considering was how could he care for this woman who had found herself pregnant. So what does he do? He resolves. Did you hear that in the scripture? He was resolved to divorce her quietly when he had his dream and the angel came. And this is where we see his righteousness come into full being. Because in that dream, what happens? He hears from the angel. And what does the angel tell him? The angel tells him to marry her, to allow that baby to be born, that baby is the Messiah. Call him Jesus. And what does the scripture tell us when he awoke? He did as the Lord commanded him. Joseph is this silent servant in our scriptures. I don't know if you have ever paid attention to the fact he doesn't get to say anything. He doesn't say a word. He simply does what the Lord commands him. The Lord commanded him to marry her. He married her. The Lord commanded him to name that child Jesus. He named that child Jesus. The law commanded him to go to Bethlehem for the census. He went to Bethlehem. And then the angel in a dream told him to get out of Dodge because someone's coming. And he went to Egypt. Joseph doesn't speak much. Joseph is obedient to God, obedient to his faith, obedient to his wife. He doesn't have a huge presence in the scriptures much after the birth stories, but he should have a huge presence in who we are as disciples. That what we have is a right relationship to God and a right relationship to our community, a right relationship to those we love. That we do what we are commanded to do by the Lord, because the Lord will fulfill his promises. Whenever I read this scripture, I can't help but think of Michael Card's song, Joseph's Song. I don't know how many of you have heard it before. But it goes a little bit like this. I'm not singing it. How could it be, this baby in my arms, sleeping now so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said. How could it be? Lord, I know he's not my own, not of my flesh, not of my bone. Still, Father, let this baby be the son of my love. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life, I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? He looks so small, his face and hands so fair. And when he cries, the sun just seems to disappear. But when he laughs, it shines. How could it be? How could it be this baby in my arms, sleeping now, so peacefully? The Son of God, the angel said. How could it be? Imagine where we would be if Joseph wasn't the righteous, faithful man that he was. The image that always comes to my mind of this man and this baby is a little bit like my husband with our first child. When Wes was born, Leo was still in the Marine Corps, and he came home one day in his utilities, and he got into the apartment and got that baby in his arms, and he was walking through the apartment complex. He had to go pay the rent, and the landlady talked about this big, big Marine whispering sweet nothings to this little baby in his arms. Leo was laid low by love. We should all be laid low by the love of our Savior, by the love of Joseph, who said yes. His relationship to his God said yes to this gift. Because his yes changed history as much as Mary's yes changed history. How could it be? And how can it be? Years later, we are still waiting, aren't we, for the Messiah to come again. And the story of the baby in Bethlehem still remains under attack as to whether or not this was an act of God. But how can it be otherwise? What birth do we celebrate but the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The gift of love that God had for us is also so real in each and every one of our lives that we spend year after year coming and hearing his story and walking through the world, living out that story so others might know that the answer to the world is love. That all we have to be is Mary. All we have to be is Joseph. And allow the Holy Spirit to be birthed within us in such a way that the world knows that the Messiah is coming. God will use us if we are willing to step forward and say yes. So this Advent season, as we move forward into that time of Christmas, into that time of celebrating that birth announcement, how has God used you? And as we look into the next year, how can God use you into the future? Allow this time of waiting to be time to pray on how you can be like Mary and Joseph, ready to say, "Here I am, send me." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a response to God's word,